Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping Up with Mrs. Kelly. I'm Mrs. Kelly and I'm joined with someone who is no stranger to our podcast. Been on it a few times. Been with us for what seems like
forever.
I was going to say years, but it literally has been years now.
Yeah, almost four.
How does it feel?
Crazy. Like I blinked and 4 years went by, or 3 years went by.
Yes,
it's wild.
I was thinking the same thing. Welcome, Miss McCabe, not only to the podcast, but to, yet another season at this school. Now it's dark. It's rainy. I gave a really non-motivational speech this morning for the all-staff meeting about how dark and cold and difficult November and December are. So you're here for another one of those. But I'm so glad to have you with us. And the reason that I wanted you on the podcast today is because, like any true inspiration, you have no idea that you are one.
No.
But you are to so many of us. And I think back to, almost 4 years ago when we met. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even meet you first. It was a colleague from a different school.
Yeah.
Who met with you.
Yeah.
And literally ran to me. Ran through this like a hotel conference center thing. Oh my God, Julie, you have to meet this woman. And he was just raving about you. And I was like, tone it down.
She can't be that great.
It's not that exciting. Trust me, I'm older than you. I have experienced a lot more than you. I know what's out there. Not impressed. And then I met you and I'm like, you were exactly what our school needed at that time.
Aww. Yeah. I applied and I came to that job fair on a whim. And it's just so wild to think, had I not made that one decision, it would have been so, so different.
So had you thought about Sweden?
Never. Not once.
So it was just you having a thought when there was this job fair, maybe I should.
And a little push from some friends and people that just said, if you don't do it now, when would you ever go somewhere? Because I was 26, 27 at the time. And I had been working for a while in another job that I enjoyed, but I was ready to move on from. And I had gone back to teacher's college and I was just thinking sort of what the next adventure would be, but I didn't expect it would actually be here. I just happened to go to that job fair. A friend of mine had already accepted a position for IES, so he was there and he was helping out, and he just said, why don't you just go and see what happens? And I sort of said, okay, yeah, sure. And then the night before I interviewed with that colleague, I wrote my resume the night before. Didn't have a resume, didn't have a cover letter. Frantically sent it out to a few people to see if they could proofread it. And then interviewed with him. Met you 2 days later, I think, on a Friday or something. You were about to leave.
Oh, yeah. I met you right.
It was right before you left. And then, you were like, I want to hire you. Go talk to your family. Go figure it out and let me know. And then I think I accepted the job right around my birthday. So it happened very quickly. And I just sort of felt like it was the right thing to do. And it was the right move. And 3.5 years later, some very dark Novembers later, a pandemic later, I'm still here.
Because you started, I would say, I say this every year, but I think that was probably, as a school, our toughest year.
Oh, for sure.
2019, 2020, where when you came and we had so many amazing colleagues join that year, that team was loaded and we started the school year. It was our second year. And I just remember looking at you guys thinking, oh, this is going to be so great. We've got it together. I can finally take my little step back from, doing everything and figuring everything out.
Other plans for us.
I know.
I also feel like the second year would be harder than the first, because the first year there's a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness for maybe not having everything ready perfectly. Mm. But then the second year, I would imagine there is that sense of more pressure and, you know, it's not new anymore. And people, like, we say that to the kids here all the time. It's not new anymore.
Yeah.
But you can still have all these new experiences and opportunities and moments that I think actually do make it more difficult as time goes on. There's more expectations that way.
Right.
So the second year of the school with those expectations, then with the pandemic, was, yeah, like that feels like a lifetime ago, but at the same time, I can remember those feelings like it was yesterday. And I think that just like bonded everyone a lot more. And we had to lean on each other because we didn't really have anywhere else to go.
We didn't have anything else.
No. And the kids and the parents, and it was just a whole community of people trying to figure it out together. But it's, yeah, the whole thing to think back and look at is so incredible, both good and bad.
Yeah.
Positive, negative. It just, like, I can't imagine not having done it. So
I would like to dream about not having done that. No, but I think you're right. In the moments, because it was so long, it lasted forever. Mm-hmm. In those moments, it was really tough, and I didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's like when you've signed up for a marathon,
yeah,
and then you start it, and you're like, this was a terrible idea, and I'm at kilometer 10, mm-hmm. and I'm nowhere near the finish. I can't even see the finish. I'm not even sure the finish line exists.
Right.
I'm already tired and feel defeated, and I have to keep going because, mm-hmm. like, I'm in it. That's kind of how the pandemic felt.
Yeah.
But now after it's ended and we can reflect on it in past tense, it is, like you said, something that brought us together. It bonded us.
Definitely.
And I think it made all of us also as individuals a lot stronger.
Yep.
In our profession.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I would be the teacher or the person that I am had that not happened. And I know for a lot of people, that's not the way that maybe you would choose to have a personal growth opportunity or moment or year, whatever it is. But it bonded my relationships with people here. It bonded my relationships so much more closely with my family and friends back home because everyone was checking in on each other.
Yeah.
And even still, I feel like I've just learned so much about being present or trying to be present. I work on that every day, but to reflect on that a lot more and then to also just be so much more intentional with my time and my energy and the love I give out to other people. Like if I'm thinking about a friend, why wait and tell them when I see them, like, oh yeah, I thought about you back whenever. Just text them in the moment and just say, hey, thinking of you, hope you're having a great day, hope you're having a great week.
Yeah.
Because all those messages at any point throughout the pandemic or just in general, like, it's so nice to hear that someone's thinking of you and to just be that beacon of kindness. Why not do that? But I think post pandemic and especially living and working away from home, that's just become such a important part of my day to day with the people in front of me, with the people that I don't see every day. Just like, don't wait to tell people how you feel. And show up for your people too, whether you're beside them or whether you're an ocean away.
Yeah. And that's definitely why I wanted to bring you onto the podcast again for your third
or fourth.
Oh my God.
It might be four.
Time.
Yeah.
So many times we've lost count. Because what I really appreciate about you, it doesn't matter if it's a pandemic, if it's a super difficult situation here at school, you're always able to push through it but still stay emotionally checked in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember our first podcast together, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then the second one, when we reflected on how you dealt with the pandemic, you were talking a lot about how you shared with the students, like during the pandemic, how you were feeling, and you bonded over that shared worry and mm-hmm. anxiety and lack of knowing what was happening. And I really appreciated then, and I've grown to appreciate over time even more, how when there are really tough times, you don't shut off your emotions and you don't close off from people. You lean in to people.
Yeah, it's not possible for me to shut off my emotions.
No, but I really appreciate that, and you're inspirational to me because I tend to do the opposite.
We balance each other out, yeah, in that way.
But I want to be more like you when there is something hard, that I don't just lean into the tasks that need to be done and like check, 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 check. Here I am like killing all of the things on my to-do list and I'm fixing all these things, that I actually take time to check in with other people, mm-hmm, to check in with myself, to allow other people to see I'm feeling like crap right now.
Yeah.
And it's not until I think that I've wrapped up whatever it was that was stressing me, whether it was the pandemic or a really tough student case or whatever it may be that's, mm-hmm, been really tough for me, I don't let people in until I've wrapped it up in a tiny little box and been like, okay, like now I've, mm-hmm, I've finished that. Now I can be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have done such a great job of maintaining that. Like, yes, I'm going to get things done. You're not like curled up in a corner crying.
No.
And rocking back and forth.
No.
You're like emotional, but you're still getting everything done. And so you're like
trying to
communicating with people, checking in with people, being open with how you're feeling, listening to that, how they're feeling while figuring it all out. And I think that in a school, that is so important.
Mm.
Have you recognized this about yourself, that you're able to do this?
No.
No?
I know I'm an emotional person. Like, I think as soon as I was born, it's like the faucet of emotion was turned on and just like has never been able to stop. And everyone around me, like when I was growing up, just said I was a really sensitive kid. I know I was a sensitive kid and that I wear my heart on my sleeve. So with me, like, you know what you're getting, and I have no poker face. I can't hide it. So I would rather, like you said, lean into that and not try to be something I'm not, because I can't shut it off. If I'm stressed, you know I'm stressed. If I'm happy, you know I'm happy. If I'm sad, you can read that on my face, my body language. Like, I can't hide that from anybody.
Yeah.
But I think instead of trying to, close that off somehow, I've learned to embrace it. And that's come with a lot of time. And I'm still, like, I'm nowhere near close to fully understanding myself or understanding, like, exactly who I am. I think I'm still, I hope I'm always discovering that.
Yeah.
But I think just owning those parts of myself that I know are true is a really important thing, and has just left me feeling, like, much more peaceful with myself. And instead of just being like, oh my gosh, why am I reacting like this? I know in a given situation typically how my emotions will run.
Yeah.
And I would rather be honest about that and upfront with people to say, hey, in this situation, I'm going to be really overwhelmed. This is what emotions I have. This is how you can help me. This is how I'm going to help myself. And just put it all out there. And then hopefully that makes me a bit more, like, vulnerable, but open in a way that there can be more like a trust built up, or people feel comfortable because I am being honest about how I'm feeling. And I just find that you get a lot more done. Maybe that's just my experience with it, but I feel like I'm more productive in that way, to be able to get things done and be true to myself at the same time.
Yeah. But I'm so inspired by this, first of all, as a teacher, because we're both teachers in our souls. We always will be.
Totally.
And I just think, what a huge gift to the students that you have had in your classroom to have a teacher that not only encourages this, but models this, like, healthy emotional responses to,
yeah,
things, where you,
sure,
can show kids it's okay to cry, it's,
definitely,
okay to show emotion, and here's how you can do it and not, yeah, be sitting in a corner rocking,
yeah,
back and forth while sobbing uncontrollably.
Yeah,
helping them build those tools, which I think are, like, that is such a great gift that you have given your students as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the colleagues around you, that they can see that this is a safe place.
And yeah, that's exactly the word I think I was looking for. It was to build up that safety with people. Because I would never want to put someone or myself be in a situation where it felt unsafe or that you couldn't be open about how you feel.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between saying that and doing that yourself. And I know I struggle with this, where I would never be judgmental. I mean, God knows how many people in the school have cried in my office, including me.
Yeah.
But like so many people, and they get embarrassed and they're like, oh, I shouldn't be crying. This is so unprofessional. And I say, like, this is the place to do it. I'm not judging you. But I think that what I struggle with is that I say those things, so I create somewhat of a safe space, but unless I'm actually living that as well, it's not the same space, I think, that you create. So that's what I am working on, is trying to be a bit more vulnerable and open. And yeah, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough, especially when you're in it.
Totally.
Like, it's easy to talk about how you want to respond to things when everything is fine. And then when things start to not be fine, it's really hard to be like, now is the time that I am going to be my best, most developed self.
Exactly.
And actually share my feelings, because I'm trying not to die.
Yeah. But it took me having, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, like, it took me having a full breakdown when I was diagnosed with a generalized anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Because then I literally had to build the bricks back up of my emotions and of my reactions to things, because everything I had known completely fell apart. And I had no coping skills that I recognized anymore. I thought I was doing a good job managing my emotions. I was not. And so it was when you like took everything away, and I felt so exposed, but at the same time, like, frozen.
Yeah.
And then I had to learn how to take care of my feelings and my needs and my emotions, but then also be very clear with other people what I needed, because I needed so much help to get through that. And I think just along the way too, like, I'm so grateful to anyone who's ever shared their time with me or shared insights with me or has been a support, whether it was for 5 minutes, 5 years, or my whole life. Like, time like that and conversations and connections is so important. And the older you get, I think the more you realize how much more value that has compared to stuff or, you know, whatever else it is. Like, I would give anything to just have more time with the people I love.
Mm.
So I've had to learn to be really open to that, because I needed that so much. And now that I understand those feelings more and I'm continuing to learn about myself, it's a lot easier to put yourself out there and have that dialogue back and forth. Like, here's how I'm feeling. How are you feeling? Here's what I need. What do you need?
Right.
How can we figure that out together? Do you want me to be part of it? Do you want me to just be there to support you? Like, having all those conversations, it's been the best learning experience. Not that I condone having a mental breakdown.
I was just going to say, how does one get to that point without having a mental breakdown?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's tough conversations and tough moments, and I think you just have to be really honest with yourself about how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then also know that you have those people you can go to when you're not feeling great, and have that safety and no judgment, and you can sit down with that person and have a really honest conversation about what you need. And it doesn't have to be in crisis. It can just be like, yeah, something feels a little off today. Can I just talk with you? And I don't really need you to do anything, but I'm trying to work through my emotions.
Yeah.
And if you can sort of have that bank of people that you go to, whether it's a teacher, a mentor, a friend, a parent, a sibling, whoever, it starts to accumulate over time. And I think you start to feel that your community is really there for you and your people are really there for you. Like, I can cry thinking about my tribe, like my group of people. I think they're the greatest people on earth, and I will fight anyone who tries to say otherwise, because they have been there for me through thick and thin. Like, when I was at my worst, I was treating them horribly. I was treating myself horribly, but they never turned their backs on me. And that's like, that's the best gift you can give somebody. So it doesn't have to, you know, come from these horrible places. It just, it comes with time and working on relationships and investing in relationships with people. And it's, yeah, it's the best investment I think you make as a human being is in others.
Yeah. And being kind and accepting of yourself.
Absolutely.
And that was our first podcast together. Yep. When you talked really openly about your mental health struggles and just really articulating that it's okay to not be okay.
Absolutely.
And I think that right now society makes that very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. Especially now that the pandemic is over, we're all supposed to be, everything is back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, and
normal's gone. We're rewriting.
But
what
comes
next?
I think that, I don't know if it's society or social media or what puts this pressure on, maybe it's just ourselves, that we have to be better. We have to be this certain level of functioning to be like normal, healthy human beings, and everyone else is doing well, and why aren't we? Like, I think that a lot of our students and probably staff and very likely parents have this feeling of I should be doing better.
Yeah, that's not productive, though.
No.
And, you know, having everything held together and appearing like perfectionism, whatever that feeling might be, to just look a certain way and seem like you have it all together is really difficult, because I don't think any of us do. And there's a quote that I heard ages ago somewhere, I can't remember where, but it was along the lines of, like, when you are cracked or when you have imperfections, like, that's where the light shines through. Mm. And so I think if we all sort of let people see maybe some of those cracks and imperfections, it actually relates you to other people more, and your light is coming through to show, like, I am a human being. I'm accepting you as a human being. Let's accept everyone, because none of us are perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and what we've seen with the struggles of our students and our colleagues, it's when they're feeling unwell in themselves that they start acting in a way that's maybe not the healthiest or the most appropriate.
Yeah.
And that was our podcast last week with a former student who was putting on this facade and was really hurting a lot of people along the way. And yeah, I think it's a really dangerous thing that luckily we have you to inspire us to be real, to be honest, to be open.
But now it's recorded, so you can hold me to it.
Exactly.
When I'm not doing it for myself.
Exactly. I will replay your words for you.
Perfect.
But I've honestly, as I said, I've always been really inspired at your way of just accepting yourself and leaning into all of the really difficult things instead of running away or hiding or pretending that they're not affecting you. It's inspirational to me. I know you've inspired hundreds of students because they all adore you. Even when you have to tell them to stop doing something, they still deep down, some of them deep, deep down, adore you. And your colleagues look up to you now as a leader in the school, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Last question for you.
Okay.
If you hadn't gone to that job fair,
oh gosh,
where do you think you'd be right now?
Wow. I have no idea. Maybe I would be back home in Ontario or in another province. I honestly don't know.
What's the thing that, like, you would miss the most? Not that you could have known, because you wouldn't have experienced it, but what would be most lacking from your life, knowing what you know, living in this life now? What would you feel would be lacking from your life if you hadn't taken that
leap? People and the relationships, because that's what's kept me here.
We are pretty great.
The people that I've met and the friends I've made and the connections and with students and with colleagues. And yeah, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't felt connected to people that way. So I've clearly found my community and, like, my tribe here. And like coffee here is way better, and fika is amazing. So those are added benefits.
I heard people were great, were amazing.
And yes.
Now since you're here, we have so many more podcast opportunities in the future. So get ready for more Miss McCabe coming up in the months and years to come.
Oh boy.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.